This morning we have an exclusive report involving a child's death and a 16-year-old mother's confession in Worcester. You'll have to listen closely to this videotape recording of Worcester police interrogating that juvenile.
And that's why you smothered Kyle, didn't you?
No.
That's why you smothered him, didn't you?
I'd never kill her.
Really?
They suspect the girl of murdering her baby boy. And after 2.5 hours, they get a confession. But the means they used to get that confession later caused a judge to throw it out. WBUR's David Boeri went to court to win the release of the videotape, and he joins us now for the first part of a two-part report. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob.
The case starts in late 2008, David. Tell us why it's significant.
Well, we know about waterboarding and rubber hoses, but what this tape demonstrates is the power of psychological pressure, Bob. And it's a lot more common way of coercing confessions from suspects.
All right, give us the context of this case.
The girl's name is Na Trong. She's a young Vietnamese-American who was charged as an adult and spent 2.5 years in jail awaiting trial for murder.
So how important was the alleged confession to the case?
The prosecution's case rested almost entirely on that alleged confession. So the video was crucial. And the opportunity to watch a full-length interrogation, as you know, is rare. So I filed a motion in court to get it, and then our WBUR attorney filed a series of appeals and motions. And after our fourth attempt, Bob, the judge allowed us to make a copy. It takes us back to late 2008. The scene is a tight room in the Worcester Police Department.
Somebody hurt that baby. We need to know who it was, and we're going to find out who it was. Either the hard way or the easy way.
I'll tell you everything.
No, you're not. Stop. Don't lie to me.
She's only a couple of days short of her 17th birthday, but Na Trong is in the box, in the 8-by-10-foot room with two police detectives on the other side of the table, has quickly gotten smaller. Sergeant Kevin Pageau of the Worcester Police Department presses in on the sobbing teenager.
Now, you said earlier you're going to tell me the truth. I'm waiting. No, you didn't.
Only a day has passed since Worcester 911 got a pleading, hysterical call for help from the apartment where the Vietnamese-American teenager lived with her 13-month-old son Kyle, her boyfriend, her mother, and her younger brothers. Kyle wasn't breathing. An hour and a half later, a doctor at a nearby hospital pronounced him dead.
That baby was smothered. Somebody smothered him. You had some bad luck watching kids.
Bad luck is a stinging reference to another death, that of Trong's brother. 8 years earlier, when she was only 8 years old, Trong was left alone with her 3-month-old brother, Hen. When he suddenly became unconscious, a neighbor called 911, but it was too late. Sudden infant death syndrome was the cause of death, the medical examiner ruled. Now, 8 years later, when detectives discover that death while looking through police records, they jump to the conclusion that Trong actually killed her brother and has killed her baby, too.
Your brother passed away. Your brother? How did he pass away?
From sudden death syndrome.
How about big sister syndrome? You were watching him when he died. In your care, that baby mysteriously dies. And now Kyle's in your care, and he mysteriously dies. You're a liar. You just got the worst luck in the world.
We represent the victims, is how homicide detectives often describe their role. And of necessity, that often puts them in confrontation with the people they question. But in the case of a teenage girl whose baby has been dead for 27 hours, who pleads and cries through much of the interview, her attorney, Ed Ryan, has another description of what the cops are doing.
Psychological torture is the best way to describe what they did to this young woman, and quite frankly.
Ryan, a past president of the Massachusetts Bar Association, calls this the worst case of coercion he's seen in 35 years.
Their interrogation was designed not to determine the truth, not to get at the facts. Their interrogation was designed to force her to confess to doing it in the way they figured she did it. They are the ones that force-fed her the word suffocation.
As well as the word smother. But attorney Ryan was not present for the girl's interrogation. She had no lawyer, and a judge will later rule that the cops didn't give her proper Miranda warnings. Back in the box, the detectives press on.
Because that medical examiner told me that baby was smothered. Does that change your story? We have scientific evidence that that boy was smothered to death.
In fact, that's not true. Doctors and the medical examiner have told Sergeant Pageau no such thing. He's lying to her. That, too, is part of the playbook. According to conventional training manuals, the purpose of interrogation is to get the suspect to incriminate herself, or, better yet, make a full confession.
Please believe me.
I don't believe you because I believe the scientists. I believe the doctors who told me that they can tell by inspecting your son's body that he was smothered.
Sergeant Pageau knows, as he will later testify, that the manner of Kyle's death is undetermined. The medical examiner who conducted the autopsy just a few hours earlier has stated no cause of death. The child has shown no sign of injuries, and his elevated body temperature after death indicates, as Truong says, that her baby had a fever. But in the box, the detectives betray no doubt.
I had a medical investigation conducted on Kyle this morning, and I know how he died, which is why we are in here.
Well, in fact, at this point, he does not know how he died.
I played those false statements and the rest of the tape for William Powers, a retired state detective who's interviewed thousands of suspects and has trained countless detectives.
The court views all statements as to whether they were given voluntarily or whether they were coerced or not. One of the main factors that they look at is lying. And while they have never flat out said, you cannot lie, it's a real negative factor with the courts.
Throughout the interview, the Worcester detectives continually lie to Truong while at the same time accusing her of lying to them every time she says she didn't kill her baby.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, we're going to go now. Cut the
I'm not lying.
I also played the videotape for retired State Superior Court Judge Robert Barton, who presided over 150 murder trials with a no-nonsense reputation.
They started off with the premise that she's guilty. I mean, it's as simple as that. And therefore, that's how they operated.
If you think this is going to be like that other baby that you were watching so well, you're sadly mistaken. Or you ain't getting away with it this time.
Detectives call this theme maximization. It's meant to convey to the suspect the hopelessness of her situation. Continued denials will fail. They may well bring harsher consequences, as the detective suggests. But detectives employ a veritable bullpen of interview themes. They're like managers with relief pitchers. When one doesn't work, they call in another. Sergeant Pageau's partner, Detective John Daugherty, now switches from maximization to minimization. He offers Truong sympathy and plays down her responsibility. After all, he says, you're just a kid.
People will be much more understanding if you come forward and say, I'm a 16-year-old girl, I lost it. This is what happened.
The detectives exploit the antagonism between the girl and her mother, who's only 14 years older. They see the house is a mess, that Truong's mother is unfit, and Truong has to do the work of raising her four brothers and even changing their diapers.
I don't make anybody angry. Your mother's laying in bed telling you to go get a diaper and put a diaper on her kid.
Do this, do that, feed him, take care of him. It's not fair to you. You're a kid. You should be able to be a kid. Right?
While offering Truong an excuse, they dangle a motive for why she did what they accuse her of doing.
We know you're pissed because you have to keep taking care of your mother's kids and all these other little kids, and you don't get to be a kid. And that's why you smothered Kyle, didn't you? That's why you smothered him, didn't you?
We'll never kill him.
One way to extract a confession is to make it seem an easier way of escaping than denial. Once again, the detectives pick up on the theme of you're only a kid. They make an offer of help if she does confess.
All everyone's waiting for today is for you admit to what you did so that we can start the process of getting you some help. Getting your brothers out of that house and get them in a better home where there's a mom that gets up in the morning and takes care of them.
What kind of help am I going to get? Truong asks a few minutes later. It's the sign that tells detectives they're close. Pageau tells her there are women on the other side of the door who help children like you. There are no women on the other side of the door. But Pageau presses closer. Tell us what happened, he says, so we can get help for your brothers and you. And quietly, like sharing a confidence, he tells Truong she will get help and leniency in the juvenile court. Listen carefully.
Keep it in the juvenile court. You
juvenile system, so the punishment is minimal, if any. I'm not saying there is any.
Confess and you go to juvenile, he's promising, where punishment is minimal, if any. Bill Powers, who now trains detectives through the Boston University School of Medicine, says the Worcester cops have crossed a big, bright line of the law.
We can't make promises. We can't say we can do things that we can't do. When it comes to where the children will wind up or where she'll wind up, that's not our call. To say that she'll be tried as a juvenile versus an adult, that's not our call. That's the call of the district attorney's office.
Lies, promises, and inducements, as they will later be called, now lead to a dramatic moment for an emotional teenager in a corner and without an attorney.
Do I have to say it?
You do.
Do I have to say it? She whispers. You do. 13 times she has said she didn't kill her son. 60 seconds of quiet sobbing transfix the room.
I smother.
You smother, child?
When he asks her if she knows why she smothered Kyle, she says no. Her head drops. What did you smother him with? Detective Daugherty asks. One of the stuffed bears, she says. But she can't identify which one. Is it okay if I leave now? She asks the detectives. And they tell her to sit tight. They leave her alone for 18 minutes. When they come back, they tell her they're taking her upstairs and putting her under arrest. She looks at them in surprise. She's already told them she has to leave to plan her son's funeral. I point out to our expert outside detective, Bill Powers, that when the cops come back into the room, first thing she asks is, will me and my brothers get to go to foster care?
Right, which shows what was going on in her mind at the time, which is thinking, I'll make the admission and I can go forward in my life and my brothers can go forward in their lives. Not processing at 16 years old that she's just admitted to a homicide.
She's clueless.
No, fair to say.
This has to be today.
It has to be today.
Is it going to be more than a day?
It was more than a day.
I don't know.
It was 2.5 years. She never got to her baby's funeral. And remember the detective's promises she would go into the juvenile system if she confessed? Not Trong was charged as an adult with murder. Her confession may be the only lie she told. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.
So far, no comment from Worcester Police. More on that tomorrow. Join us tomorrow for the second part of our story, Anatomy of a Bad Confession, how the confession was thrown out and what's changed since then. And on Radio Boston today at 3 p.m., a former Superior Court judge answers your questions about how reliable confessions really are. To see excerpts of the police videotape, visit our website, wbur.org.